right, you all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? All right, we are going to look at Matthew chapter 23. We'll start there. If you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Let's pray. Lord, this morning I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, God, a heart to receive your word today. And Lord, give us the will to be obedient to you. Help us to, Lord, evaluate where we are. God, help us to be sincere in our faith. Help us to love you dearly, God, sincerely, faithfully. May all that we do come from a pure heart. And so, God, today I pray that you speak to us. Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, I pray that you would also speak to them to let them know that you have offered them a salvation that you have paid for, and that they can come and receive that freely from you. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word to truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, last night, how many of you all got some kiddos together and you went trick-or-treating? We have anybody go trick-or-treating? Anybody trick-or-treat last night? It's fun. I love Halloween. Can I say that as a pastor, that I love Halloween? I've always enjoyed it as a kid. I've liked it, dressing up, you know, and having stuff. And my kids now, they're too big to go house to house. But see, we've got this built-in system that we have some more years ahead of us. We've always went to Beth and DJ Rudd's house. That's Michelle's cousin, my cousin by marriage. And before they even had children, we would go over to their house. We'd order some pizza. We'd have our kids over there. And we would walk around their neighborhood, because their neighborhood had a lot of houses that actually did trick-or-treating. And our neighborhood only had about 4 houses and no kids. So there wasn't a lot of much going on at that time. So we'd always go over there. And so we went back over there and walked around with Julie and Josiah as they went trick-or-treating and seeing all of the costumes and stuff. And it just brought back a lot of memories. I mean, how many of you all remember your trick-or-treating days? Huh? How many of y'all remember? Anybody have the house that you had to go to? There was the house that gave the big candy bars. Not the little bitty, but I mean, they gave you a full-sized candy bar. What? You got to go to that house. But what about the mask? Like, what kind of mask did you wear? Like these are some that I remember. You know, you got the Hulk, Batman. There's Wonder Woman there. Isn't she beautiful there? And you got Superman, and there's a princess right. Now, the Hulk was my guy. That was who I enjoyed. You know, I like to dress up like the Hulk. Yeah, you know. I wanted to be, you know, strong, mean, green, you know, all this stuff. And how many of y'all remember some of your old childhood costumes that you used to pretend? And the thing about Halloween is you get to dress up, and you get to put a mask on and pretend to be somebody you're not. Okay. Now, when Jesus calls out the Pharisees and he calls them hypocrites, that Greek word hypocrite, it means one who plays a role. It means a play actor. It means a mask wearer. See, back, you know, in Rome, Greek Rome, their theaters and their plays. Many times they would act with a mask that would be on a stick, and when they would be acting out, they would hold that mask in front of their face, and they would act out the play. And even sometimes a person would play more than one role, and so they might even be conversing to themselves, so they'd have a mask. And their one character would be speaking and talking, and then they'd come over here and they'd put the other mask up, and then they would speak to that person. They would act out this play, and so it's a mask wearer. And so when Jesus calls out the Pharisees, he says, "You all are a bunch of hypocrites. You're a bunch of mask wearers. You look good on the outside. You make the outside look like it's right, but on the inside it's filthy." And he uses the comparison to a cup. He says, you clean the outside of the cup, and the outside of the cup, oh, it looks great, it's shiny, it's clean, but the inside is filthy. Now, how many of you all, when you're drinking out of a cup, right, how many of you all would like to drink out of a cup that on the inside it's completely filthy? Anybody? Now, if you had your choice, you would want the cup to be clean on the outside and the inside. True? But if you had to choose, which one would you pick? Would you rather have just a little bit of dirt on the outside, but a clean inside? Or would you want the outside to be completely clean with just some dirt on the inside? You want the clean on the inside, right? He says, you're whitewashed tombs. It's clean, it's painted, it looks nice, but it's still full of dead man's bones. You know, you go to the graveyard and you know, we have loved ones that are buried in graveyards, and you want the graveyard to be well kept, well manicured, and the grass cut and the weeds trimmed, and you want it to look nice. But even if it's well manicured and well taken care of and it looks pleasant to the eyes, it's still a place of death. No matter how beautiful you make it look, it's still full of death. And so what Jesus is calling them out of is quit playing the part. Quit pretending that you're religious and righteous and holy, that you love God, when in reality you're full of greed and self-indulgence, and that there is wickedness and lawlessness in you, and you're using your persona for your own pleasure. And we think of mask wearing, we think, yeah, those Pharisees. But then if we actually get honest, how many of us wear masks every day? Now, there's some masks that we wear that are kind of like self-preservation. They kind of are masks that we wear to cope with life. You know, some people may wear the cool guy mask. He's the calm, cool, and collected. Nothing bothers him. I mean, he can take it all in, and when something comes, he just absorbs it. Don't react, just bottle it up. May be really feeling and stirring things inside, but never let him see you sweat. And so you just keep bottling it, and then all of a sudden, one day, it could be something really insignificant, could be maybe at a restaurant, could be at a workplace, could be at home, something real simple, and all of a sudden, what happens? Boom! You just explode. And you just go off on maybe a coworker, or maybe your spouse, or maybe your children, and it just explodes. Why? Because you've put this mask on that you're in control, and that nothing bothers you, that you're... You can handle everything. Some wear the humorist mask or the class clown mask, the one that's always laughing and joking and constant. Because if you're laughing, you're not crying, right? And so I need to humor myself and skirt around the issues. And if I'm joking all the time, then I can deflect deep conversation. I can avoid being real and having heart-to-heart talks. You have your perfectionist mask. This is the person that tries to make everything perfect in their life. And everything's got to be perfect. And boy, they'll do anything they can just to make everything as close to perfection as possible. And they will control, and they'll do all whatever they can. And as in their perfection, they're actually a slave to the reality that one thing could go wrong. And if one thing doesn't go as planned, their whole world is shattered. And so they live in anxiety constantly because it's got to be this way. It's got to happen the way I've planned. I've planned it. It's right here. This is how it's supposed to happen. And life, we know, doesn't always happen the way we have planned it. You've got your people pleaser, the person that just puts on the mask. They're the one that you know goes along and gets along. They just want to be liked. They just want to have friends, and they'll just run and do and go. Multiple types of masks that we wear, just really for self-preservation. But then there's also masks that we wear for self-promotion. That we will, you know. You go to work. Oh, our boss, isn't our boss great? Oh, wonderful. I got the best boss. Hey, boss, what would you like for me to do? I'm here, boss. And boy, you just seem like you are the person that the boss, you just love the boss, and you're just talking great about the boss, you know, and then it's the lunchroom, and you're like, I tell you what, I can't stand the boss. But now when you're in the presence of the boss, you're what? Oh, man, you're A number one. You're his best employee. You're right there. But in reality, you talk about him. You don't appreciate. We call those people two-faced, right? Two-faced. Ever have two-faced? Like people do that with friendships. Yeah. They'll buddy up to you if they feel like their friendship with you will get them something. They may not be your friend, but boy, they'll sure act like they're your friend. We wear the mask. We play. What's even worse is when we do that with our faith. When we use God for our own selfish indulgence, for our own greed, for our own pride, for our own benefit. You know, church attendance can become something that you do just so that you let people in the community know you're a good church going man or woman. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I go to church. But you realize you can wear a mask when you're in church, right? You can be here but not be present. You can sing but not worship. You can listen but not hear. You can pray words, but they might be meaningless words. But you could go through the motion and appear to be like, man, that person must really love the Lord. But then through the week, you can just put your other mask on and go everywhere and live however you want to. I got my Sunday mask on. How many of y'all got my Sunday mask on? Bless God, glory, hallelujah. And how you doing? Oh, I'm highly favored, you know. God just loves me. I'm just loved by God, greatly loved by God. I'm wondering, you know. And if we would have maybe even saw the entry into the building, it could have been like, you know, like, I can't believe you. I mean, you're arguing. You know, you're arguing. I'm getting the kid. Get in the car. Get in the car. We're going to be late again. I tell you what, we ain't going to have a place in the cafe. Get in here and walk in the doors. Hello. How's everybody doing? I'm blessed. Yes. Yeah. And we put on this face that everything is perfect, and it's not. Oh, never have any arguments in marriage. No, we never. Right, Michelle, we never argue. We never argue. That's a lie. We've had good arguments. We had some good arguments. Don't we have some good arguments? We've had some good arguments on a Saturday night, and then continued on, and then I preach, and then picks back up Sunday afternoon. And, you know, life is not always perfect. There was an instance when Jesus was eating with his disciples, and they didn't wash their hands. They just started eating. And then the Pharisees said, how come your disciples don't wash their hands when they eat? You know, the law says they must be cleansed. Now that they've touched the food with unclean hands, now they're unclean. And Jesus said, do you not know that it's not what you put into your body that makes one unclean? Because you're going to eat the food, and then the food's going to be digested, and then you're going to get rid of the food. It's what comes out of the heart is what defiles a man. He said, because there is where lust, pride, and anger, that's where it starts. It starts from within. When the outside of the cup looks fine, but the inside of the cup is dirty and filthy, eventually what's in is going to flow out. And you got to get the inside clean. The problem with many people is they try to clean the outside without focusing on the inside, and that never works. There was a church that Jesus wrote to. It's found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. If you have your Bible, turn there. This is a letter written to the church of Laodicea, and I almost think you could put America in here because we have a lot of similarities with Laodicea. And this letter to this church, Jesus has nothing good to say to them, okay? But now he cares for them, he loves them. Now notice what their problem is. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Laodicea first before we get into this letter. Laodicea was a rich and wealthy city. They prided themselves on their wealth. Around 70-72 AD, there was a major earthquake through the region, and they were the only city that refused help from Rome to rebuild it because they had enough wealth to rebuild their own city. And so they took pride in the fact that they were self-sufficient. They had an industry, a wool industry. They had a black wool that was unique and distinct, and they would sell that. It brought them a lot of industry, commerce, and money. They also had an ophthalmology area of help where they had this eye salve that would help people who had issues with eyesight. And the special eye salve that they had would help bring healing there. And so they were a city that was doing well. They were prosperous. They had education. They worshiped Zeus, and they were just a city that was flourishing. And within that city was the Church of Laodicea. And Laodicea, if the culture around it was doing well, this church was thriving as well. They had financial resources. They had what they needed. They, too, were pretty much self-sufficient. They had everything that they needed. And so in Revelation 3:14, it says this, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen. This is the words coming from the true God. Amen means truth, truly. So amen, amen, I say unto you. Truly, truly, I say unto you. This is the God of truth, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. This is Jesus, the very word of God, the very truth of God, the very creator God who is speaking to them. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, remind you, he's writing to his church. Now, in a city next to Laodicea, they were known for their hot springs. And there you would be able to find therapy through the hot springs. Anybody that's ever been in a hot tub and had muscle aches know that can bring healing. And then in another city over on the other side, they were known for their cold springs. That the cold water there, it was refreshing. It was good. So on one city next to them, you had this hot spring where, you know, it was good for you. And then you had this cold spring, ooh, that was refreshing, right? Now, Laodicea did not have good water, so they had to pipe in the water from the neighboring city. And by the time it would get to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. And so their water wasn't... I mean, how many of y'all have had that experience? You know, you've been really thirsty, and there was a water fountain. And you're like, ooh, whew, water fountain. And you go over to the water fountain, and then you take a drink, and it's like, yeah. You know, it's not cold. It's lukewarm. And Jesus says to them, you're lukewarm. You're just like the water there. I wish you were a hot spring that could be useful for refreshing, or I wish you would be a cold spring that would bring refreshing drink, but because you're just lukewarm, it makes me want to spit you out of my mouth. It makes me disgusted. Now remember, he is talking to a church. He says, you're not being the people that I've called you to be. What mask do they wear? Verse 17, for you say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing. So they wear the mask of their wealth, of their prosperity, of their industry, of their wool. I need nothing. I'm self-sufficient. We don't need help. We have all the answers. We can do it on our own. Not realizing, Jesus says, that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, this is how you see yourself. You're wearing the mask of self-sufficiency, of wealth, of prosperity, but in reality, behind that mask, you are poor, naked, wretched. It seems like he could be writing this to America, does it not? I mean, America, greatest nation in the world. It's a great place to live, best place to live, I would say. And we pride ourselves on what? On our independence, that we are independent, that we have this pick yourself up by your bootstraps type of mindset, and we just make things happen, and we pride ourselves in the American spirit, you know, where we can be whatever we want to be, and you can make as much money as you want. You just go out there and you just live the American dream, and that's the pursuit, and we don't even need God anymore. We're so great as a nation, right? I mean, we're so wealthy, we're so educated now. Aren't you glad we're so educated that we don't need the Lord? Isn't that wonderful? We think we are so smart that God's not needed. We've got clothes, we've got cars, we have money, our homes. I mean, we have it. And the American can be fooled into thinking that we are so self-sufficient and man, we're so powerful and we're so rich and we're so smart. We don't need God. When in reality, we are poor, blind, naked, and wretched. and we desperately need the Lord. Talk about our politicians today. Sounds fitting when we talk about hypocrisy, does it not? It doesn't matter, really, which side of the aisle you're on. You'll see hypocrisy on both sides. What's the stats say, sir, that will help me win this election? Well, if you believe this and you harp on this, this will help you. Hey, I'm strongly for it. Oh, wait a minute, we messed up. You need to be against it. Oh, I'm against it. You know, it's like, how many of you seen flip-flop on their positions? You know, our politicians. Guess what, here. You know, the color that politicians like, it's not black, it's not white, it's not brown, it's green. And I'm not talking about the climate. I'm talking about money. If you want to know where the heart of a politician is, you always follow the money. And that reveals their true self. I mean, we got hypocrisy all over the world, don't we? Our Hollywood elites, they have a lot of hypocrisy. Oh, they're concerned about the environment as they fly across the nation in their private jets, living in their gated communities. Hypocrisy finds itself all over the place. Also in the American church. American church full of hypocrisy. Countless pastors are falling by the wayside, committing adultery, becoming alcoholics, deconstructing their faith. Churches who call themselves churches who don't even believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now, let me just ask you, how can you be a church and believe that there are multiple ways to heaven? How does that happen? Preachers preaching from the pulpit from a book they don't even believe is inspired by God. How does that happen? Good on the outside. And so Jesus calls this church and he calls them to repentance. He calls them back to himself because he says, you say you're rich, but you're really poor. You say that you can see, but you're really blind. You say that you have this clothing, but you're really naked. You need me, right? Jesus could say to our nation, you say you have Facebook. You say you have friends, but you're friendless. You say my family is perfect, but it's a wreck. You say, look at my many vacations, how wonderful they are, but they have you in financial ruin. It used to be, I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, but we used to say, everybody wanted to keep up with the Joneses. Anybody ever heard that? Everybody wanted to keep up with the Joneses. We never knew who the Joneses were, but you wanted to keep up with them because the Joneses had it all figured out, right? They had the money, they had the nice cars, they had everything. So you just wanted to be like the Joneses. You know, it's kind of like that. I remember, I haven't seen this commercial in years. This is a great commercial from the Lending Tree. It was this guy on this lawnmower, and he's riding around his lawn, and he's in this big house. He's talking about all the things he has. He's like, isn't this great? He's like, and you may ask, how do I get all this? And he goes, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. And some of us wear this mask of like this finance, oh, we've got all this money, but in reality, we're broke. Most Americans are one paycheck away from being homeless. But we say we're rich. So what do we do? Well, Jesus says this in verse 18. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I will reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. He says, everything that you think that you have sufficiently on your own isn't going to cut it. You're still desperately in need. What you need is not what you can get on your own, as you need it from me. Come to me and be clothed by my robe of righteousness. Come to me and be touched by my anointing of salvation, that you may see the way that life should be and that who God really is. And you need to come unto me and repent and be zealous. Worst thing in the world is for a Christian to become so complacent that they're lukewarm and they just go through the motions. And their heart is not stirred any longer for the things of God. We've got ourselves in a routine or a rut. And so in verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. Now notice, this is written to his church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, as I also have conquered and sat down on my Father, with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice the picture that he paints. This is Jesus outside. That the church, that the Christians there, they have gotten so caught up in their self-sufficiency and their self-indulgence that they wore the mask that they really, you know, they went to church every week, I'm sure. They heard preaching every week, I'm sure. They sang songs every week. They prayed every week. But Jesus looked at them and said, you're lukewarm. And I'm outside. I'm not even in your presence. It is a sad reality, and I pray to God that this never happens to our church, but it is a sad reality that the Holy Spirit could leave the American churches and they would keep going right on as if nothing ever happened. When the second temple was built, it had not the Ark of the Covenant there. When Solomon built the first temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory filled the place. Babylonians came, destroyed it, took it. When they built the second temple, no glory of the Lord came on that place. He stands on the outside and he speaks now to an individual. If anyone... Do you know you can get to a point in your Christian walk where you lose the joy of your salvation, where you lose your that first love of what it was like being a Christian? You know, that joy that filled your heart when you were saved and you would do whatever God called or led you to do. But after time, you've let the things of the world creep in. And now you've put this mask on. And now Jesus is on the outside. And he's knocking. He's saying, if you will open up your door, if you open up the door, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to be real in your life. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. Just take the mask. You know what we need to do? We need to unmask. We need to unmask today We need to unmask of anything that's in our life that might not be where God would want us. If I wear the Christian t-shirt, it can't be just for appearance. Right? When I show up to church on Sunday, it's not just something I'm supposed to do. When I come to church on Sunday, I need to come with an expectant heart to hear from the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, this is the day I've set aside to worship you and to honor you, to lift your name high. I know you're going to be in the presence of God's people. Your Holy Spirit's going to move. He's going to speak. I'm open, God. What are you saying to my heart? What are you speaking? Change me. Help me. If there's anything in my life that doesn't need to be there, let me see it so I can remove it. Lord, if I hear you knocking at my heart's door, I need to open it. It's time to put the Sunday smile down. You know, there has been marriages end in this church, and I never knew there was a problem. People have come to me and said, do you know so-and-so, they're getting a divorce? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I didn't even know they were having problems. And the reason why many times we never know if anybody's having problems is because I don't want anybody to know that I'm having trouble. I'm struggling. This is a reality, and I wish it didn't happen, but here, people will allow their lives to completely fall apart while they're sitting in church because they feel like they don't want to admit, man, we've got a problem. There's something not right. I've got an addiction. I've got a problem. My marriage, with my kids, with my finances, with my work, and we try to put the, you know, we don't want to bother anybody with our problems, but your pastors are here to pray with you and for you and to give you biblical counsel. Your friends that you know who are believers are there to help you and to walk alongside you, because sometimes in life it's so heavy you can't carry it alone. So quit trying to put on the mask that you can shoulder it, because there's times when you need to call a friend and say, I need just an ear. Do you mind if I just talk with you? I just need to share some things, get some things off my heart. I need some guidance. I need some help. This morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know how your family life is. I don't know how your spiritual walk is. I don't know how your financial life is going and how your parenting is going. And there's so many things that go on. Here's the thing that we know from Scripture. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and I am knocking. And I want to have fellowship with you. I want to sit down at table with you. And I want to be present in your life. And if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, he will come in. So this morning, I don't know what mask you need to unmask. But I'd encourage you to stop playing the part and open your heart and your door to the Jesus who loves you, who is calling to you, and find all that you need in Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning,